Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Welcome in on Wednesday, day three of SEC Media Days. This is the Rebel Report. I am Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are with me as always. So a few things, a couple points of order, if you will, before we get started. Number one, we talked to Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl, the head of the Senior Bowl, and he shared a couple of things with us. I'm going to bring that audio to you guys probably Friday, maybe Saturday, just depending on how things shake out, because we're going live tomorrow night. I'm going to visit with Brett Norsworthy of the Ole Miss Radio Network, and we'll just obviously talk a lot of Ole Miss football media days and things of that nature. But I'm going to bring you this interview for a couple of reasons. First, he said that Ole Miss has more than 20 draftable graded players on their roster. And that's important because Michigan, you know, the national champion team that had the most draft picks in the draft this past year, had 18. So Ole Miss has a handful more draftable graded players on its roster, more than the 22 starters, right? He even made reference to that. He's like, you know, teams only have 22 starters, but they did so well in the portal and they have so much depth that there are guys that won't start that still are draft grade players on their roster. So he really likes this Ole Miss team, says NFL scouts really like this Ole Miss team as well. So you'll love to hear that. It's very interesting. But the second thing is he told us when asked about running backs at Ole Miss, that there are some people in NFL circles, GMs, scouts, etc., that have a higher grade on Ulysses Bentley than they do Quinshon Judkins. Now, he acknowledged how special Judkins is because he is. He didn't say that he was bad or anything close to that, but called Bentley more dynamic, and that there are NFL teams that last year really wanted to see more of him and really have big-time high expectations for the Ole Miss running back. The big playability, the explosiveness, the dynamic style of his play, he said, leads NFL teams to have some NFL teams anyway, to have a higher grade on him than they do Judkins. Very interesting stuff. Ole Miss is in good shape at the running back position, according to him. Yes, losing Judkins is significant, but according to, I mean, the best in the business, the Senior Bowl is the premier scouting event. They do a good job, and in NFL circles, that's where they go. That is the premier scouting event. Thinks that they're more than fine and thinks that they have even higher graded running backs now than their starter just 1 year ago. Really interesting stuff. Looking forward to bringing that to you guys later on this week. But today, I'm bringing you an interview that I did with Michael Katz. If you don't know Michael Katz, you don't follow him, you should. He covers Ole Miss for the Daily Journal. And he does a lot of his angle, his vertical, if you will, is the human interest side. He is exceptional at telling the individual stories of players. And so if you don't follow him, you should, because that's the kind of work he does, and he's great at it. But he sat down with me on Monday after they did their rounds. We talked Kiffin, we talked the players and expectations, and the money question that I asked him was, are they ready for this moment? Ole Miss is probably going to be third in the order of finish. Maybe Alabama sneaks in there at third, depending on how the media votes. But everybody here thinks they're a playoff team, even Nick Saban. And it hits different coming from Nick Saban than it does somebody like me, said that he picked Georgia and Texas to go to the SEC championship, but said, look, Ole Miss is the number three because on the lines of scrimmage, they're going to look like an SEC team this year. And that's his difference, is that they're different up front on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. It's different coming from Nick Saban for sure. So we talked a lot about all of that. It's a really good interview. So I hope you guys enjoy that. We're going to get to that right after I tell you, number one, please subscribe if you have not already. If you're listening on the website, I appreciate you being here, but pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also, follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And we'll be live tomorrow night. So Thursday night, we'll be live again. I'll be back home and We'll recap the things that we heard and saw from the week, and got a lot more coming your way after that as well. So hope you guys enjoyed this interview with Michael Katz. That's coming right now, and I'll talk to you guys on the live tomorrow night.
The Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory, for all of your small business, contract disputes, and personal injuries, 662-397-9799. The Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi. Intimate relationship with his clients. You're not just a number. You are a person. He'll build a relationship with you. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you the Rebel Report from SEC Media Days in Dallas. Joining me right now, I'm going to call you my good friend. We've done this before. It's always enjoyable. We don't get to do it enough. Michael Katz of the Daily Journal. My friend, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, man. Always a pleasure.
So, long day. Yes. Are you done?
I'm just doing the podcast rounds, which I consider a great privilege.
Stop.
So this is the best part of my day.
So obviously it's Ole Miss Day. Now, you guys are watching or listening to this a few days later, but still worth talking about, of course. Lane Kiffin today did really well, but let's start there. Very clearly, understandably, somber today would be the way I would describe it. Did an excellent job on the big stage, eulogizing essentially his father, but very clearly something that still is really affecting him. And that was a side of Lane that we just don't get to see very often, but it was raw and real.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to fathom how fresh it must be in having to come do this stuff, which probably doesn't seem super significant right now in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he said his dad always taught him was you have to do your job regardless of what's happening. And I think that's probably helped Lane through this. But yeah, no, it's interesting because like you said, we don't see the emotional side of Lane, and I think that's by design. I don't think that's, you know, he's never been one to really wear his emotions on his sleeve for the most part. But he has always spoken really highly of his father and the impact he had on him, not just from the coaching perspective and helping him get his foot in the door in that regard, but it's always been about how he taught him how to deal with people, and that's something that he said he was always trying to get better at, like his father. And you know, I think one of the really interesting things is you know, you've seen all of these eulogies come in for Monty from all these different teams and all these different people online. Of course, a lot of it has been about, you know, the Tampa 2 defense and all his football things. But so much of it has been about what a good dude this was. And I think that's – Lane made that part of it really clear today.
Very much so. So, you know, like you said, seemingly everything else insignificant. But putting that aside to talk about football, do you learn anything today?
Do we ever hear?
No, not really.
No, but, you know, I think that, you know, this was a really interesting media days for me because obviously the expectations are so high for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
This is a preseason, probably top five team, for sure top 10.
What were they on the video game? They were fourth, right, on the video game? Isn't that what they were? Fourth or fifth?
Yeah, I think they were fifth. Okay. I haven't gotten to play it yet. I'm not rich and didn't buy the deluxe version.
Well, I'm not rich and don't have an updated system,
okay, well, that,
so I'm going to be way behind.
That's going to hinder you. I think what's interesting about, you know, this is Texas and Oklahoma's media days,
right?
That's what Sankey's opening statement was about for the most part today. He went like 15 minutes on the addition and how strong the conference is. And you know, if you think about SEC storylines, it's Texas and Oklahoma, it's Georgia as the preseason number one. Like Ole Miss, it's weird because they are this preseason top five team, but like they're still sort of overlooked.
Yeah.
It's very, and I don't think that's a bad place to be. I think that's a really good place to be, especially for a program like Ole Miss, who hasn't always thrived under these sorts of circumstances. So it was interesting because, you know, a lot of talk, you know, of course, rat poison came up today, right?
Love it.
It was bound to.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lane, he's learned from previous stops, right? And I think he's done a really good job of learning from his past. And, you know, I was at USC in 2012 when, you know, this will be his second preseason top 10 team. The other one was the 2012 USC Trojans, who were preseason number one and went 7-6. And I asked him about that today. What did you learn from that experience? And he said, you know, circumstances were different. We were under sanctions. We had roster limitations, which I actually forgot about. It's been so long.
Yeah, you're a USC guy.
I know. I am, for better or worse. Worse a lot of the time. But he said that, you know, they probably leaned into the hype a little bit too much that year in 2012. They probably thought they were better than they really were. And if you talk to him, if you talk to any of the players we saw today, that's not the case. Like, yes, they know they're good. Of course they know they're good. But they don't want to talk about how good they are. And I think that's... it's interesting to see. And, you know, you hear it during the spring. You know, we're still trying to figure out what this team is. I feel like we kind of know what this team is. To an extent. You know, we're only... You know, we're a month... plus out from when the season starts, and they still aren't buying into how good they're supposed to be in terms of, you know, all the stuff that's out there. So,
and it feels real, doesn't it?
It feels absolutely genuine.
You've covered media days in different teams, and you've been all over the country in your career. You can see right through media-trained answers. Like, okay, this is what the SID told them to say before they made their rounds. I got the chance to talk to Trey Harris and Jared Ivey myself. Richard got to talk to Jackson, and I don't think that they're thinking about their answers. I think that's their answers, and we can't draw much away from just media ops, but it does feel real. Like, that is exactly what their mindset is, as opposed to that's what the SID told them what their mindset should be.
100%. And you know, there's a reason these three guys are here, right? They're very thoughtful individuals. You don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
What to say or what not to say. But I think better than, you know, I think for the most part, I'm sure everybody on the team is at least told to think this way. But I think those guys embody it. Mm-hmm. Like, you want those people as representing your program for where it is right now. So I don't know if I learned anything from it today, but it was interesting to hear it actually talked about,
right,
and how they handled it. And I think they handled it really, really well.
And you know, you're not from Mississippi, obviously. How long have you been on the beat? It's been a few years.
This is my fourth media days.
How about that?
So
you've been around for a while. So at this point, you have a pretty good grasp of the history of Ole Miss and how few times they've been in this position. Now, we just mentioned the players and their mindset and the way they answered things, but this is the question I was preparing to ask you, probably going to use it as the title to clickbait. Is Ole Miss ready for this moment?
You always take it with a grain of salt right now. I really do think so. And I think that's because this is a team that, you know, this transfer portal thing is all brand new. It's still fairly new. Yeah. But, like, Lane has built different editions of transfer portal teams. And that first year, it didn't work great towards the end. The chemistry was just a little bit off. And they went on that slide towards the end of the year. Last year, it all clicked, right? You bring so many of those guys back as leaders who now don't even really seem like transfers. It seems like they've been here for a long time. And, yeah, you add all that new talent that everybody's been talking about in the transfer portal. I think that this is a battle-tested team that has seen both sides of what can happen when you collect talent. You know, again, you know, it's the cliche. I think Jordan Watkins said it during the spring that, you know, right now we're not a team, we're a roster of names. And, like, yeah, that's super corny. But you sort of believe it when they say it, that, like, they understand that they have, like, the chemistry really does matter. You can't just get a bunch of five-star transfers and expect it to work. They tried that in 2022 and started off really well and did not end very well.
There is something, it cracks me up, and I understand why he does it. He did it last year, too, but Lane, he talked about that. In 22, they faced some adversity, and they folded, and that absolutely happened. That is very real. Something else also happened at the end of that season, too, but there was something else going on, too.
Yeah, something around the Egg Bowl, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but... you know... He keeps things close to the vest. He very much doesn't elaborate on things like, hey, what does Jackson Dart need to improve on? Frankly, not a whole lot, because he didn't call him perfect. There are some things, protecting the ball, all that, but you don't hear him compliment people like that. And hearing him talk about his quarterback today is different, and it's not – Jackson's got a big arm. He's a good athlete. It's my son's putting on a video game party tonight for the players, and if there was a leadership rating, Jackson would be a 99. That kind of stuff is – that's not just your typical praising your player thing.
It's really interesting bringing that up because when Jackson first got here, that was not how Lane talked about him.
No.
It was sometimes a little rough. He was very brutally honest about the turnovers and what he expected.
That relationship was sour.
Yes, and just it's crazy where they are now because they are like they are in perfect harmony. They are in sync, and it seems genuine. I think they genuinely understand each other. Again, like I asked, you know, what's the next step for Jackson? He's like, well, normally you would say X, Y, and Z, but he did some of those things already last year.
Yeah.
You know, again, bringing up, you know, you brought up, you know, the leadership rating. He just out of nowhere, again, brought up that if Jackson Dart ever wants to be a head coach, he can do it because he just has this way of bringing people together. And that's just not, he doesn't talk about a lot of people like that. You know, he loved Matt Corral and he talked about Matt, but Matt was different. It was a different personality than Jackson. Great leaders, but in different ways. He talks about Jackson like, I mean, this is a really important player to him. I think that he was really hard on Jackson, and I think he still is really hard on Jackson. But Jackson has just taken every obstacle that's come his way and just come out on top. And I think he really respects that.
For sure. So, two other guys here. I told Jared Ivey that I'm mad at him because he's been in the podcasting game for 4 months, and he's better than me at it. But aside from the media savvy that he clearly has, he's such an important player. And everybody focuses on, understandably so, Princely and Walter Nolan and the impact that they need to have. Jared Ivey at the end of last season was also a really quality player, and he didn't have, with all due respect to Cedric Johnson, he didn't have anybody on the other side that would command so much attention. I think Princely's addition could be great for Jared Ivey because he's going to command so much attention, and you're going to get so many one-on-one matchups. And he showed you against Penn State, a very, very, very good team with quality offensive linemen. He can feast when given the opportunity.
100%. I think that adding the talent they added up front in the portal, no one's going to benefit more than Jared because he's going to get those one-on-ones.
Yeah.
I think the really interesting thing about Jared Ivey is, and you get it every time, whenever you talk to him, he is just a very measured, thoughtful guy that I think you understand that, yes, the physical attributes, we know he can ball. He's a ball player. But I think that the way that he can probably control a room and get people to temper their emotions or to, I think he can talk things through with people. He talks us through everything. You know, he's like so meticulous and detailed in his answers. And I have to think that when you're bringing in all these new guys all the time, to have a guy like that who everybody can look to and say, hey, Jared, like, what are we supposed to do? I guarantee Jared knows what everybody's supposed to be doing on a given play.
What's this team's biggest weakness?
I mean, I don't –
it's hard to say. Like, on paper, they don't have a true weakness. There are areas of concern, for sure. But if you want to say the running back room's the weakness, okay, they've got Bentley, who's proven. They've got Parrish, who spent 4 years playing in the SEC / ACC. And Amos ran for 1,000 yards in the MAC last year. And when Diggs gets healthy, he was LSU's leading rusher. That's your weakness.
Yeah, no, I think it's the running back questions, though. It's always kind of, it's not funny, but you look at just Lane's offenses at Ole Miss, and they have manufactured rushing yards. It doesn't matter what the situation was. You know, his first couple of years, it was a sort of a three-headed monster, right? The last couple of years, it's been a lot of Judkins, and obviously Bentley had a little bit more of a role last year. It doesn't matter what that room looks like, and that's not to say those guys aren't talented. They have talent back there, obviously, but they're always going to figure out a way to run the ball. That's never... you know, Quinshon was a great player, but I think numbers wise, I don't think they're going to miss a ton of production because they have a bunch of guys who are very capable. Maybe of a group effort of filling that void. I guess for me, if I had to say, is this iffy? It might be linebacker. I'm just not 100% sure. You know, Chris Paul Jr. he did great things at Arkansas. You know, we haven't seen him in this defense.
Right.
You know, Centurion Perkins is obviously in a little bit of a different role now. He's playing defensive end a lot now. So, like, what is his role look like? So, you know, I think it was a question last year too.
It was
a linebacker, and it still feels like is it in a better spot? Absolutely, especially because TJ Dudley's there, and he'll have a full, you know, season of being, or full off seasons of
Corey Coleman.
Yes, absolutely. But you know, you look at the defensive line, like you feel really good about that. You look at the secondary, and it is a lot of new names, but they're really talented names, and Pete Golding knows how to coach a secondary.
Yeah,
you know, they're going to figure that out. I think linebacker, and again, I don't think it's going to be a problem. But I think if there's one area, if you look at all the different levels, that's one where I'm like, okay, I could see it maybe not being one of the stronger links.
Mm-hmm. And then last thing, I'll let you go. You've been really kind with your time, and I appreciate you. Lane Kiffin, after the Georgia game, you were there. You were in the room.
I sure was.
When he was just being honest. He was not throwing players under the bus, but he straight up said, that went down that way because their roster's different than mine. And that was true. During the game, you even had, I think it was Kirk Herbstreit during the game that was like, well, Pete Golding needs to try something different schematically. And I was just screaming. I was like, Kirk, there's nothing he can do.
They're just better.
They're Georgia's just better. Yeah. And Lane called it a length and size problem today. But he also said, I think that we addressed it, is the direct quote. I think that we addressed it. Hearing him be so confident about that's got to be encouraging. But if that's true, the ceiling is what everybody thinks it is. If it's not, they'll underachieve relative to expectation.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the talent they already had coming back and the talent they brought in, and you bring it in at the positions that you think were separating you from the upper echelon teams, if it's not now, when's it going to be? I think this is a fascinating year because, you know, I think there's still a lot of coaches out there who aren't all in on the portal being the way to build a team, right? And in a perfect world, would Lane be recruiting?
Brian Kelly, I don't know if he took a shot at Lane or not today, but said that coaches that use the mm-hmm. portal too much mm-hmm. Are showing that they're not good recruiters.
Mm-hmm. And he said something like, you don't want to have to depend on it for your upper echelon depth chart. And, you know, that's whatever.
I get your point, but Walter Nolan's an upper echelon player on every single roster in America.
So is Prince Imamielen.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Harris.
Yeah. So I think that, but I think it's really interesting because, you know, they've built this team this way without traditional. I mean, yeah, they've gotten some good recruits in there, but that's not the main. If we're looking at the main pieces on this team, it's that's not how they've gotten there. This is like the ultimate like test. Like if it works this year, then you've got the success story of like you can build a team this way, and if it doesn't, what do you do? Because mm-hmm. you kind of put all your eggs in this basket. I think this is going to be like a fascinating experiment to watch.
Absolutely. Michael, thank you so much for your time, man.
Appreciate you.
And we'll catch up much sooner. The last time was months ago.
It was a while.
We'll do it sooner.
Appreciate it, man.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.